The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Pinchas. Before going into the Parsha, I'd like to go back a little to last week's Parsha to get the proper background to Perekhov Dalet Posuk Yudalet. The Torah told us that Balak, the king of Moab, was very afraid because Klal Yisrael were coming to his borders. This was at the end of the 40th year in the desert. And they were on the other side of the Yarden, of the Jordan. And Og Melech HaBoshan and Sihon Melech HaAmori, the kings of those nations, tried to start up with Moshe, and Moshe defeated them, and all of their land fell to Israel. So because of this, he went to Midian to ask an Eitzah, counsel, how he could stop this nation. He went to Midian because the leader of Israel, Moshe, grew up in Midian. This is where he ran from Parai, and he married the daughter of Yisro, and he stayed there many years. They advised to hire Bilam. Bilam was a Navi of the Umais. He was a prophet of the nations of the world. And he said, just like Moshe is a great prophet, and yes, and Yisrael has a keach defiv, they have a power of the mouth, so does Bilam. And hire Bilam to curse the nation. So the last week's parsha told us that he tried unsuccessfully to curse the nation. In Pasuk Yudalet, it states, V'ato hinani holech la'ami. He says, you see that, Mi'ato, Rashi says, harini kishar ami. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer with me. I have no longer the power of curse. I wasn't successful. Therefore, I must return to my nation. This is what Bilam told Balak, the king of Moab. But I will give you some counsel in regards to this nation, in regards to your nation. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that what kind of counsel did he give them? He said, Eleihem shall elu say nezimahu. The God of this nation hates promiscuity. He hates immorality. If you can manage to seduce them into promiscuity and into idolatry, then you will be able to defeat them. And the Gemara tells us is that this is what both Moab and Midian did. If we go now to Perechofe Posuk Aleph, which after the previous Posuk stated, this is at the end of Balak, Vayokum Bilam Vayelech Vayoshev Limkeimai, began Balak Kolach the Gedarkei, so Bilam went home. The next Posuk states, Vayeshiv Yisrael Bishitim, Yisrael were dwelling in a place called Shittim, Vayochal Om Liznais El Benais Moav. And the nation started to go astray after the daughters of Moab. The Gemara tells us that both Midian and Moab decided that they will send their daughters into the camp of Israel, try to seduce the sons of Israel to Avera, and these daughters will be carrying with them the idols of Peor. Baal Peor was the idol which they worshipped. And through this, they will seduce them also to idolatry. But Tikrenu La'om Lezivche Aleihem, and they called out to the nation, to the gods of their gods, to the sacrifices of their God. And they started to make a big celebration and a big party. The daughters were successful. And they seduced many of the sons of Israel. And then they got them to bow to their gods and to worship their gods. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu became very, very angry. And he brought a magifa. He brought a plague. Vayim Hashem al Maisha. Kach es kol rosh ha'am v'hoka osam la'Hashem neger ha'shomesh v'yoshev charein af Hashem Yisrael. And Hashem said to Moshe, take the leaders of the nation and you must go and you must judge and punish all of those from Yisrael that have gone astray, that have gone after the daughters of Moab and Midian, and that have gone after their idolatry. And Moshe said to the judges of Yisrael, Higu isha noshev anitzmonim lebal pa'or, go and kill all of those people that went to worship Baal Pa'or, their gods. And many, many of Yisrael were killed because of this. V'hinei ish mibnei Yisrael bo, v'yakrei v'lecho v'sabijonis le'enei Moshe, le'enei kol adas b'nei Yisrael. And a man came from the B'nai Israel. He was one of the leaders of the tribes. He was a prince. The Torah is going to tell us that he was the head of the tribe of Shimon. And he brought a Midianite, woman, and he brought her to Moshe. The Gemara gives background to this. What happened? The hatred of Moab and Midian was so great against Israel that the kings themselves, in particular this one king of Midian had a number of kings, was willing to send his own daughter. He had a very, very beautiful daughter. His own daughter, who was a princess, into Israel to try to lead them astray. But he gave her instructions that you shall not give yourself to anyone. You're a princess. You must go after their king. In other words, he had targeted Moshe. And when she came into the camp, so the one who saw her and was attracted to her was the prince of Shimon, of Shevet Shimon, the tribe of Shimon. And when he came over to her, she said, are you the king of Israel? This was Zimri ben Solu. And he said, why do you want to know? Is because my father said that I'm only to go to the king of Israel, the greatest one. He said, I'm greater. Why? Because Moshe comes from Shevet Levi. Levi was the third tribe. It was Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. And I am the head of Shimon, the tribe of Shimon. Shimon was the second son. See? So I'm greater. So, all right. She agreed. Now he went and he gathered together, I believe the Gemara says the number of Chof Dalet Elef, 24,000 of followers from Shevet Shimon, the tribe of Shimon. And he took her and he went to Moshe, Le'enei Kol Adas Ben Yisrael, in the presence of everyone, and he asked Moshe, he says, is this woman muteres or asura? Is it permissible to take this woman or is it forbidden? V'im taim ar asura, and if you'll say it's forbidden, mi hi totiro loch, who permitted you to take your wife? Because Moshe's wife was also a Midianite, the daughter of Yisro. This is what he said. Now, in actuality, Moshe was allowed to take the daughter of Yisro, because that was before the giving of the Torah. And then with the giving of the Torah, they all became gerim, they all became converts. But here, the Torah was already given, and we weren't permitted to take her. Moshe naturally told that it's asur, is forbidden. But he didn't listen. And he went, and he took her into a tent, and the tent was heavily guarded, this, because this was one of the most prestigious men in Israel, and the tent was heavily guarded by his henchmen from the tribe of Shimon. And there he was going to commit an avera with her. And it states, Vehema bochim pesach el moed, Moshe and his court were in shock. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do. See? Because, why were they in shock? They knew he was doing a tremendous avera. But we can't do anything to him without bringing him to the Beis Din. You have to have due process of the law. So they didn't know what to do. And meanwhile, this was causing a tremendous rift in Israel. Vayar Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron HaKohen. And Pinchas came. Pinchas was the grand nephew of Moshe. He was the son of Elozer and the son of Aaron. Aaron was the Kohen Gadol, who was the brother of Moshe. And he saw what was going on. And the Gemara explains a good deal of what I'm bringing is in Rashi, but the Gemara goes at great length. Vayar Pinchas, what did he see? Ro Maisa v'niskar halocha. He saw what was going on, and he remembered the halocha, he remembered what he had learned by Moshe, that Abayal Aramis kanaim poigimbo, that if someone takes the daughter of an idolater, in other words, an idolatress, and he commits an avera with her in the presence of the public, then kanoim poginbo, someone who is very zealous about the laws of HaKadosh Baruch Hu can kill that person without due process of the law. There are very, very rare instances when we have a right to do anything without due process of the law. This is one of the rare instances. But this was forgotten by Moshe in his court. The Gemara says it was forgotten explicitly in order that Pinchas should have this chus, this merit. It's an interesting though, this is only if he does it on his own. If he comes to the Beis Din, to the court, and asks if he can do it, then ein meirin kein, we do not tell him he can do it. At any rate, he saw what was happening, he remembered the halacha, and he went and he told Moshe in the court. He says, didn't you not teach that Habayal Aram is Kanaim Pagimba? Did you not teach us this halacha? And Moshe remembered. So Moshe merely said that the one who brings the message of the king, let him carry it out. So Pinchas got the message. By Yoko Mitecha Edo, he got up and he went out of the Edo. He went out of the Beis Din. He was in the Beis Din. By Yikach Remach Biyodei, and he took a spear in his hand. The Gemara goes into detail. Gemara says, from the fact that he went out of the Beis Din, out of the Beis HaMedrash, where the court was sitting, and he took a spear in his hand, the Gemara says, Mikan She'ein Mevin Kli Zayin LeBeis HaMedrash, that you cannot have weapons in the Beis HaMedrash. He had to go out to take it. Then the Gemara goes into it, but how's he going to take his spear and walk through 24,000 guards and go to the tent? So he took off the head of the spear and he put that in his pocket. And the wood of the spear he used as a cane, as if he was walking. And he walked there and he gave them a whole story that he also wants to partake in all of this that's going on. And there was the whole orgy that was going on there see, of the idolatry and of the immorality, and they let him in the tent. And he speared both of them. Both the man and the woman. And he speared them and he carried them out with a spear. And the Gemara brings that a whole number of miracles, six great miracles, took place. Because, first of all, it would have been very simple for all the guards to stop him. And secondly, it would have been very simple for all the guards to kill him, to kill Pinchas. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected Pinchas. And you can imagine the courage this took. And so all of these miracles took place. And Vate'otzar HaMagefa Me'al B'nei Yisrael. And he is the one who stopped the plague that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent into Israel. By you amazing by Magefa Arba Ve'esrim Olef, and there were 24,000 that had died in this Magefa, in this plague. Now we come to Parshas Pinchas. Vayidaber Hashem l'Moshe l'Emor, and Hashem said to Moshe, Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron HaKohen, Pinchas the son of Elozer, the son of Aaron HaKohen, Heishi v'skamosim al b'nei Yisrael. He is the one who turned back my wrath over Israel. Bekanai eskinosi besechon, that he was zealous to uphold my honor. Velechilises bnei Israel bekinosi, and in my anger, I did not consume all of Israel. Lochein emor. Therefore, I take a shvuah. I take an oath and say to him, Hinini nesein lei es brisi shalom. I shall give him my covenant of peace. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Pinchas, I owe you a great gift. You do a favor to the king, he must repay you. I owe you a great gift. Because if not for you, my anger might have been so great, I might have destroyed all of Israel. So therefore I owe you a great gift. Firstly, I'm going to give you Brisi Shalom, my covenant of peace. And then, I'm going to make you into a Kohen. What does it mean, I'm going to make you into a Kohen? Pinchas was a Kohen, he was the son of Elozer, the son of Aaron. The answer was, he was not a Kohen. The Kohuna was given to Aaron and his children. And the children that were born afterwards were given to Aaron and his sons and anyone's born afterwards. Pinchas was already born at that time. And it was given only to Aaron and his sons and not his grandsons. Only the new offsprings that would come from Aaron's sons. So Pinchas and his family were excluded from the Kohuna. So here HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I am going to include you in the Kohuna and the priesthood. Tachas asher kina le'akov yechaper al b'nei Yisrael. Because you have stood up for my jealousy and for my honor, and you brought atonement to Bnei Yisrael. Shame ish Yisrael amuka asher hukas amidyoni zimur ben solu nisi beisav l'shimoni, the name of the man that was killed in this was Zimri the son of Solu. He was a prince of tribe of Shimon, Shema Isha Muka Midjanis, and the name of the woman, the Midianite, was Cosbi Vasur, and Sur was one of the kings of Midian. Reish Umas Beisov be Midjanhu. And then afterwards, Hashem went and he commanded them to go to war against Midian, because they had caused all of this. This that it states that he gave him Bris Shalom, I will give you the covenant of my peace. The Midrashim, the Targum Yonasan, the Balaturim, they bring, what does this mean? Shalom Mimelech Hamovis. You will have peace from the angel of death. You will live a long time. And we find that Pinchas lived a very, very long time. We find even in the time of the Nevi'im, in the time of Shmuel, of Eli, Pinchas was still living. Some midrashim go even further. Shalom imalach hamavis. You will never die. And they bring Pinchas u Eliyahu. Pinchas is going to become Eliyahu. Exactly what that means is somewhat obscure, but this is what the midrashim says, that Pinchas will become Eliyahu. Why Shalom? The Gemara says, what? What is the purpose of Eliyahu? The purpose of Eliyahu is Lasei Shalom Ba'Elam, to make peace in the world, because he's going to come to be Mavasir of the Geula. Now in the 3 weeks commemorates the Churban of the Beis Hamikdash, the first and the second, the Golus. And we all wait for the Melech HaMashiach to come and to make peace in the world and to unite everyone and bring us back to Eretz Yisrael and the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara says that preceding the Melech HaMashiach will be Eliyahu. Eliyahu never died. And Eliyahu merely ascended, but he never died. And he will come to be Mavasir the Geula, to tell us when it's time for the redemption and to make peace in the world. So Brisi Shalom refers to that covenant, and that will be, Pinchas will be involved in that. And that's what it means. Pinchas will be Brisi Shalom, my covenant of peace, and Pinchas Zu Eliyahu. Now, this is the background, and this is the story, and this is this halacha of Baal Aramis, Kanoim Poyginbo, that in such a case, someone who becomes so angry and is so strong and so courageous can go ahead without due process and take the law into his own hands. We can ask a question, though. He, Pinchas, was the descendant of Aaron. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. And Aaron was the Kohanim. This is really contrary to the qualities of Aaron. The sages tell us that Aaron was the type of person that you would think would never harm anyone. He was the epitome of kindness and gentility. This was Aaron. And he was always looking the other way. A Kanoi is a warrior. He's the one who's the first one to charge into battle. But this was not the quality of Aaron. Perhaps was the quality of Moshe. Moshe was the warrior. He was taking on kings and nations, but not Aaron. And how do we know this? Well, we have a few sources. In Parshas Chukos, which we just learned, this was just 2 weeks ago, during our break, tells of the death of Aaron. In the Perichov, Posukhov Tess, it states, Bayiru kol ha'edo ki gova Aaron. The whole nation saw that Aaron had died. Bayivku es Aaron shleishim yom kol beis Yisrael. And the nation, the whole nation, kol beis Yisrael, the whole house of Israel wept for Aaron 30 days. At the end of the Sefer Torah, in Parshas Zeis HaBrocho, there the Torah tells us, this is in Perek Lamed Daled, Posuk Ches, Vayivku v'nei Yisrael, es mei shebar v'smeyev, shleishim yoyim. the sons of Israel. It doesn't say Beis Yisrael, the house of Israel. It says the sons of Israel. And it doesn't say Kol Beis Yisrael, the whole house of Israel, wept for Moshe when he died, 30 days. Now, the Gemara asks, the Medrash asks, what's the difference? Why by Aaron does it say the house of Israel? And by Moshe it says the sons. And by Aaron it says the whole house of Israel. And by Moshe it does not say. So the Medrash tells us that Moshe had made many enemies during his lifetime. To be a leader like Moshe, you can't make only friends. He stood up against all odds for what was right. And he battled everything that was wrong. And he had plenty fights. Omiat uskaluni, he used to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, this nation is ready to stone me. So therefore, they wept for him, but not Kol Beis Yisrael, but not everyone. Aaron, that was a different personality. He wasn't a warrior. And therefore, Kol Beis Yisrael, the entire house of Israel, wept for him. And the In Masechta Ovis, in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Beis, Hillel said, "Having me talmid of Shilaram, be of the disciples of Aaron." Now Hillel was not a Kohen. Yet Hillel said, "Make yourself like a Kohen. Make yourself like Aaron. Ohev Shalom v'Rodef Shalom. You shall love peace and you shall pursue peace. Ohev es habriyos u'makarav l'Torah. Love the people and bring them close to Torah." And in Avos Reb Noson, on this Mishnah, the Medrash goes into great detail what Aaron used to do. He used to go out of his way if he'd see two people fighting. He used to go out of his way to make peace between them. If he would see quarrels going on in a house between a man and his wife, he would go out of his way and humble himself and do everything to make peace between them. He would come and bring people close to Torah. He would see a rosho, an evil man, he would go out of his way to give him Shalom Aleichem. And the man would say, Aaron, the kind God will give him Shalom Aleichem, he must think I'm a great tzaddik. And then when the man wanted to do an Aveira, he would think, I can't do that. If Aaron thinks like this of me, how can I do such a thing? This was Aaron. And it's interesting that Hillel, who was not a Kohen like we mentioned, but he said, make yourself into a Kohen when it comes to this way. Hillel practiced what he preached. The Gemara tells us, in Masechta Shabbos on Hillel, that this was the life he lived. We've quoted this Gemara many times. The Gemara Sadaf Lamed Aleph in Perek Bana Madlikim, that Hillel had a reputation of never becoming angry, never becoming provoked or angry. And the Gemara brings that one day two people said, I'll make a wager. One said to another, I'll make a wager with you that I can get the great Hillel angry. So they made a wager. And a great amount of money was set on this. Dalad Mea Zuz, 400 Zuz. And that day was Erev Shabbos. And Hillel was at home bathing. And he came Erev Shabbos. You know, Erev Shabbos is a whole tumult. Everybody's in a hurry and it's a rush and whatnot. And nobody has time to talk to anyone. And he comes to Hillel's house and he shouts by the door, Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. Is Hillel here? Hillel here. So Hillel came out of the bath and he put a robe on. And he came and he said, my son, what can I do for you? And he asked him a simple question. He says, I have a question to ask you. He asked why the heads of the Babylonians were not perfectly round. Why aren't they perfectly round? And anyone else would have chucked the guy out. Hillel said, Sheila Gedela Shelter. It's a very good question. He says, because they do not, the midwives do not really know what they're doing. They're very clumsy. So at birth, their heads become a bit lopsided. Then later on, he comes back and he says, I have another question for you. So he said, all right, ask. He asked, they were the Tamaduin, a certain nation, and their eyes were partially closed. Why were they so partially closed? So he answered, because they live amongst the sand. The sand blows into their eyes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them with such eyes to protect them. Then now a lady comes back with a third question. And again, Hillel had to come out of the bath. And he says, I have an important question. He says, all right. He says, why is it that the feet of the Africans are so wide? So he says, because they live in an area where they walk without shoes. And when you always walk without shoes, your feet become very wide. Then he said like this. He says, I really have many questions to ask, but I'm afraid if I'll ask you, you'll get angry. So he said, he sat down and he says, ask me all the questions that you want. Finally, he told him that really I'm just trying to get you angry. But now I'm angry because you caused me to lose so much money. Hillel says it's better that you should lose the money than Hillel should become angry. And then the Gemara goes further. The Gemara says, you know, there was Hillel and Shammai. Shammai went more with the strictness of the law. And Hillel was always looking for the leniency. He was always looking for flexibility. And the Ger came, it was a non-Jew came, he came to Shammai. And he said, Gayeni, al menashe talamdeni kol ha-teira kula. No, he says, I want to become a convert, but I understand you have a written law and an oral law. I'll accept the written law, but not the oral law. Shammai said, sorry, there's nothing to talk about. Go. And that was the halacha. Because when a ger comes, he has to accept upon himself the entire Torah, the written law, and the oral law, and all of the mitzvahs. He came to Hillel. Hillel didn't tell him that. He said, this person wants to become a Jew. He says, I can't drive him away. So he said, all right. He says, I'll learn with you. He learned with him the Aleph and the Beis and the Gimel and the Dalet. He said, come back tomorrow for another lesson. And he came back the next day. So then he told him the Dalet was an Aleph and the Beis was a Gimel. He mixed it all up. So he says, this is not right. He says, how do you know if it's right or not? Because this is what you told me yesterday. So he says, if you hold reliance is on me, so then rely on me also. That the oral law is also true, like the written law. And slowly, he brought him to become a kosher ger. And the Gemara brings another case, actually brings four cases. We won't go through all of the cases now. But another case, it comes when a person came and he told Shammai, I want, convert me on the condition that you can teach me the entire Torah when I stand on one foot. Now, someone comes to the Beis Din of Johannesburg with that request, they will drive him out. What is he trying to make fools out of us? Is he some idiot? The Beis Din of Johannesburg can take a year or 2 years to teach someone before they allow him to become a ger. And that's what Shammai did. Shammai drove him out. He didn't. He said, all right. He says, stand on one foot, I'll teach you the entire Torah. The person stood on one foot. And he said, what is hated to you, do not do unto others. That's the entire Torah. The rest is just commentary. Go and study the commentary. And slowly, he brought managed to make a very good gear out of him. The Gemara brings at the end that these four people came together and they told each other the stories. And they said like this. L'yomim nizdavgu shleishten l'mokem echar. Omru, kaptenusai shel shamai bikshu l'toranu min ha'elam. The strictness and the rigidity of Shammai wanted to drive us out of the world. In the sonusai shel Hillel, the humility and the flexibility of Hillel, koravnu tachas kamfi ha'shchina, brought us under the wings of the Shechina. So this was the quality of Hillel. Where did Hillel get it from? He learned this from Aaron, because he said, "Havi mi talmidov shel Aaron, make yourself into a disciple of Aaron. Eiv shalom v'reiniv shalom, love peace and pursue peace. Eiv asabriyes, love the people and bring them close to Torah." And this was the quality of Aaron. Now we have a question: if this was the quality of Aaron the Kohen, who is the Ben Levi, the descendant of Levi, this is the total antithesis, the complete opposite of Pinchas, where Pinchas here displayed the quality of a warrior, of the zealousness, the anger, the courage, the aggressiveness of a warrior that could go to war and kill in cold blood. How do we put the two together? The truth is, it is true that this was the quality of Aaron and Levi, like Hillel tells us and like the Torah tells us. But in four places, or at least four places, we see not like that. We see that Levi and his descendants displayed the same quality of Pinchas. One, the first place, is in Parshas Vayishlach, Perek Lamed Daled. There we have the case of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov, our father, was returning from the house of Lavan. He was traveling and he came into the city, a city of Shechem. And there was a prince. And the prince's name was Shechem. And he was the son of Hamor, who was the king. And he saw Yaakov's daughter, Dina. And he desired her greatly. And he went and he abducted her. And he violated her. And he wouldn't give her back. He took her into the palace and he wouldn't give her back. And he said he wants to marry her. And Yaakov didn't know what to do exactly, because this was the king's son, the prince. And they came to Yaakov to say, "My son is in love with your daughter and he wants her very much. And give us whatever dowry you want us to pay. We will pay the dowry, a king's ransom. And we will make a treaty amongst us. And we will live together in peace." Yaakov didn't know exactly how to deal with it. Behind Yaakov's back, Levi, this was together with his brother Shimon, Shimon and Levi, went and they devised a strategy where they wiped out the entire town, annihilated the whole city. I'm not going to go into the whole story, but what did they do? They tucked everyone in that they have to all have a bris milah, and on the third day, when all the men were sick from the pain of the Bris Milah. Vayichu shnei b'nei Yaakov, Shimon v'Levi, achei Dino. So Shimon and Levi, the brothers of Dino, went ish harbay. They took their swords, the two of them, and they came into the city. Vayahargu kol zocher. Two young men went and they annihilated every male in the city. And they went and they killed the king, and they killed his son, the prince, by the sword. And they took Dina, they took her home. They says, this is how you deal with gangsters. See, it's unfortunate we don't have more people like that today. But this is how you deal with the mafia. You got a mafia, this is what you do. Finished. See? But they weren't finished yet. Now, B'nei Yaakov bo'a l'chalolim b'yavozo y'ir asher timo achesum eseinam es bekorem es kamareham ves asher b'yir ves asher b'sode l'kochu. Then they went and they rounded up all the possessions of the city. The cattle, the oxen, everything. It's called Halem. And then all of their children. And then all of their wives they took. And they took everything. See. Now Yaakov was shocked. See. Yaakov also was a strong individual, but he wasn't prepared to go that far. And he said, you're going to make a reputation out of us. And you think that their allies are going to take it sitting down. And I'm a small nation. I'm a small family. Yaakov was how many people? 70 people. So they answered, Vayemir Achazeinu Yases Achazeinu. We're going to let those people come and violate our daughter, and we will do nothing. Our sister, and we will do nothing. Now there you see Levi, with Shimon also, but Levi, performing what we would call some very, very great kanois here. Exercising the strength of the sword and the courage of the sword. That's one place. The second place we find it is by the Egel Azov, the golden calf. This is in Parshas Kisiso, in Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Chov Vov, in Shmos, Lamed Beis Perek Chov Vov. Moshe went up to receive the Torah. He said he would be back down in 40 days. There was a miscalculation. He had meant 40 complete days, and they counted from day one when he went up, which was only a part of a day. And when he didn't come down on the day that they had expected, the Eid of Rav, the many people that went along with Israel from Egypt, panicked the people, and they said that here we're left in the desert with no leader. Let us make a leader for ourselves. And they went and they made the golden calf. And again was going in a whole orgy of idolatry and lust and so forth. Kodesh Baruch Hu on the mountain told Moshe, Shicheis Amecho, your nation is destroying itself, is bringing itself to ruination. Here I just gave them the Torah 40 days ago, and now they've all gone off and they've broken my Torah already, and they've gone off to Egel Azov, a golden calf, idolatry and whatnot. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy the whole nation. So Moshe said, wait, and he hurried back down to the camp, and he saw what was going on. And he took the golden calf, and he, even though again he stood up before thousands and thousands, he took the golden calf and destroyed it. And he saw that the nation was totally uncovered, was wild. And he saw, wasn't the whole nation. There's a great multitude of the nation, but not the whole nation. So Moshe was always displaying courage and strength. He stood in the gates of the camp. Whoever is for Hashem, let him come to me. By Ofra Elov called Bnei Levi. All of the children of Levi came to him. And he told the Levim, this is what Hashem has commanded. Simu ish harbay al yerechai. Every man take his sword. Ivru v'shuvu mishal oshar b'machaneh. And go from one camp to the other, from one place to the other. V'hirgu ish asochi v'ish asre'eu v'ish askrebay. And go and kill your own relative, your own cousin, your own friend who has served this idol. V'yasu v'nei Levi kidvar Moshe. And the children of Levi did like Moshe commanded. V'yipul mino'om v'yemahu kishleishis alfei ish. And from the nation fell about 3,000 people. And then Moshe praised Levi for doing this. So here we see a second example of Levi. Well, Levi was the one who was going to become the courageous warrior, not the kind and gentle person that Aaron was. Then we have a third place, and that's here by Pinchas. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Then we have a fourth place. The fourth place is the story of Hanukkah. The story of Hanukkah is that the Greeks, the great Greek Empire, had invaded Eretz Yisrael. They occupied Eretz Yisrael. And the Greeks had an enormous, overpowering culture. They were great chachomim. They were very, very wise when it came to secular wisdoms. And they had their cultures, and they had their games, and their Olympics, and they had their gods, the Greek gods. And they made all kinds of decrees in order to snare Yisrael, to become like them, that they should go in their ways and they should worship their gods. And the decrees became more difficult and more difficult all of the time. And then they made decrees that they can no longer live differently than the Greeks. They have to give up Shabbos, they have to give up Bris Milah, they have to give up Kashrus, and they have to worship their gods. And the Greek Empire was the power of the world at that time. And not many of Klal Yisrael were willing to take them on. So we have what is called the Megillas Hanukkah. And it tells us, Bayomim ahem hayakein b'Yisrael. In those days there was a Kohen. Ushmei Matishohu, ben Yechanan ben Shimon. And his name was Matishohu, the son of Yechanan, the son of Shimon, Mimnei Yoriv, Yushalayim. Originally from Yushalayim, Vuhu Yeshiv Bahar Modo'is. He lived in Modo'is. He had five sons, Yechanan, Shimon, Yehuda, Elozer, Beginison. And he saw what was taking place. And he was enormously broken when he saw what was taking place. Then it tells him a story. One day, a Greek Pokid HaMelech, a Greek officer of the king, came to his city. And he set up an idol, a Greek idol. And he called all of the Jews around. And he said, Kravno atori shena la'aseis mitzvos ha-melech. Who will come first to fulfill the commands of the king? To serve this idol. And Matishoah stepped forward and he said as follows. He says, if all of the servants of the king
in this land will serve him and serve this idol, Lechein Onechem Mishpachti, not me and my family. We will not depart from the right to the left after the statutes of the Goyim. Cholila lonu lashuv mimitzvos Hashem Elokeinu. Heaven forbid that we should betray the mitzvahs of Hashem. Lachein es dosi amelech leinase. He told the officer, therefore we will not fulfill the edicts of the king, and we will not go after his culture. Vayikach haleisa ledaber. And as he finished speaking, vayigash ish mibnei Yisrael leinei kol hanitzavim. A Jew came forward, ala boma asher b'modois, to the altar which was put there, and he came to make a sacrifice like the king had commanded. Vayar matishohu and matishohu saw vayecham levavoi bekirboi, and his heart became hot with anger. Vativar kinosa letora selakov, and he became zealous for the Torah of Hashem. And he couldn't control himself, and he went after the man by Miso Alabama, and he killed him right there. Aye, but there was the officer of the king. He killed him also, took his sword and killed them both. By Ito it says Abom, and he broke the altar. And he went and he avenged the honor of Hashem, just like Pinchas did to Zimri ben Solo. And then he went into the city and he cried out, Miho Ish. Now he was following what Moshe did. Miho Ish Hechori Leseira Selakov. Who is the man that fears the Torah of Hashem? Maxik Bivrisai. And upholds his laws, Yove Acharoi, let him come after me. And he took his sons and all of his followers, and they ran out of the city into the desert, into the mountains of the desert. And there they formed their army, and that was the revolt. That was the revolt of Matishohu and the Maccabees. And from that revolt, ultimately they overthrew the entire Greek Empire. That's the story of Hanukkah. So here we see a fourth example. Now, that's not the Oiv Sholem or Aidiv Sholem of Aaron, yet these were the descendants of Aaron. The answer to this is the Maral asks a question. He says, when we say that you should have the qualities of Aaron HaKohen, where does the Torah tell us that these were his qualities? Alright, it's true. We saw from, in one place it says by Moshe that not everyone wept for him when he died, and by Aaron it says everyone wept. But that's a very, very obscure source. Where does the Torah tell us these were the qualities of Aaron? That Hillel could teach you should be like Aaron. He says the answer is these were the qualities of Aaron, because Aaron was the Kohen. What was the job of the Kohanim? The job of the Kohanim was to be Lishmor Es HaMikdosh, to be in charge of the Beis HaMikdosh and the sacrifices. What was the purpose of the Beis HaMikdosh and the sacrifices? The purpose of the Beis HaMikdosh and the sacrifices were two: to unify all of Israel into one. Why do we say this? Because the Gemara tells us that before the Beis HaMikdosh, kol echad ve'echad heilichu beinu beinu lifnei le'atzmai. Before the Beis HaMikdosh, everybody used to go and serve Hashem wherever he wanted. He could make an altar there, he could make an altar here, he could make an altar in this city, and so forth. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Mishkan in the Beis HaMikdosh, Nesru HaBomos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, there'll never be another place where you can sacrifice. Only in the Beis HaMikdosh, in Yerushalayim, in Har Hashem, Har HaBayis. Nesru HaBomos, all of the other altars became forbidden. And the Medrash says, We are not like other nations. We have one Beis Hamikdash, we have one place to sacrifice, we have one Kohen Gadol. So, the first purpose of the Beis Hamikdash was to unify Klal Yisrael into one. Second purpose was that it should be a place where they could bring sacrifices. The word sacrifice is korban. Korban comes from the word korev. The korban brought the people close to Hashem. Klal Yisrael is echod, and Hashem is echod. There's a unique oneness in Yisrael and in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the echod. The Rambam sums this up actually where the Rambam says we are commanded to build a Beis HaMikdash. He says in order that it should be a place where we could bring sacrifices, that's the oneness between Israel and Hashem, and a place where all of Israel comes to this place three times a year. All of Israel was obligated to come on the three Chagim to the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore the Maral says if this was the duty, if this was the obligation of the Kahanim, of the Kohen, and Aaron was the foundation of the Kohuna, of the priesthood, this means his job was to unify Israel to each other and to Hashem. Well, this is what Hillel is saying. Ohev Shalom, Vareidev Shalom. You have to love peace and you have to pursue peace. How can you unify people through peace? What divides people? Machlekes. See, war, arguments, quarrels, this is what divides people. The Kohen's job was to see that Israel was not divided, but they were all one. Ohev Shalom, Vareidev Shalom. Ohev es Abrias. You must love the people. If you're going to drive them away, you're not going to have one. Umakarvan le Torah, and bring them to Torah. When you bring them to Torah, not only are you making one out of them, you're making one out of them together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These were the qualities of the Kohen. And this is what Hillel was saying. Now, accordingly, then, the qualities of the kuna, of the priesthood, were based on one, but actually they were twofold. It was their job and obligation, it was their duty to unify Israel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and protect that unity. To unify, to bring Israel together and to bring them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also to protect that unity. Therefore we find that Aaron and Levi is where they come from, they had the quality to bring the people together, to love the people, to bring them to Hashem, and that was with the kindliness and the love and the pursuit of peace and the kiruv. But whenever that unity was threatened by some other force, they were first with the obligation to protect that unity, and then if necessary they came with the sword. All of the examples that we cited is where the unity was threatened. For example, we said that the first time we saw this was with the Dina and Shechem and Hamor. What was the threat there? They said Yaakov was a nation by himself. We are to ourselves, we are our own nation, we have our own sanctity. Not only did Shechem and Hamor, as other nation, come and dilute and defile that sanctity, which that itself was breaking their unity, but they came with a, they said, let's intermarry. We want your daughter. Hamor came and says, my son wants your daughter. He wants to marry her. We can live together. We will be one nation. We will do business with each other. We will pay a dowry, a ransom, and so forth and so on. You will not have that special sanctity. There, the unity of Yisrael and the unity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was threatened right in the heart. And Levi was the first to go with the sword to protect that. Second place we cited was the golden calf, idolatry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that there is nothing that threatens me as much as idolatry. Mora says that someone who serves idolatry is the same as denying all of the mitzvahs of the Torah, because it's a total betrayal to the king. Why do we keep mitzvahs? Because the king has commanded. But once I reject you as the king, that's why the first mitzvah we were given was Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the king, Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim, you shall not have other gods. And then all this, all my mitzvahs. So there is nothing which destroys Yisrael, its unity, its uniqueness, and its unity with Hashem like idolatry. And therefore, it was a greater obligation on Levi than anyone else to protect this. And they were the only Shevet, the only tribe in totality that didn't worship the Egel Azor, the golden calf, for that reason. And when Moshe said, "Me Hashem Eli, who is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is still holding true to HaKadosh Baruch Hu?" Vayeosfa Elov Kol B'nei Levi. Every one of Levi came to him. And he said, "Take the sword to protect the unity of Klal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Third example we excited was with Pinchas. The Gemara says, why is it that there is such a strict ruling here that if someone takes an aramis, if someone takes this daughter, a kanoi, a courageous person, can go and kill him without due process? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says we are speaking of a daughter of an idolater. And it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you take the daughter of an idolater, it's ki'ilu mischatein le'el nechor. It's like marrying an alien god. This is a chibor. This binds yourself to her god. It binds yourself to an alien god. And that's what was happening in the camp. In the camp, the people were breaking their bond to Hashem and binding themselves through the daughters of Midian to an alien god. And the first ones that were affected by this were the Levim, the Kohanim, their descendants, because that's their job, to build the unity. And therefore Pinchas was there with the sword. And then the fourth example we brought was the same thing, Matishohu. Here the Greek Empire came and they said, we will all be one nation. Give up your culture, accept our culture, accept our laws, accept our practices, accept our games, accept our gods. The unity of Israel was being destroyed. And when Matishohu saw a Jew go forward and he was worshipping their gods, he could not contain himself anymore. And he took his sword and killed him and the officer of the king. And from here came the revolt. The Gemara just about says this. The Gemara in Sanhedrin brings that when Pinchas was going to go into the tent to kill Zimri ben Salu, the angels wanted to stop him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the angels, why do you want to stop him? And they said, he can't just come and kill the prince of Israel just like that. Who is he? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, leave him alone. Kanoi ben Kanoi Hu? He is the zealous one. Who is the son of the zealous one? And Meshiv Chema ben Meshiv Chema Hu. And he is the one who has brought peace to my wrath, the son of one who has brought peace to my wrath. What does this mean? He is the son, he is the zealous one, the son of a zealous one. This Rashi says this refers to Levi, who showed his zealousness in protecting his sister Dina. And he is a one who will bring peace to my wrath, the descendant of the one who brought peace to my wrath. This refers to Aaron, that when there was the whole business with Korach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a whole plague, Moshe told Aaron, quickly go and with the Ketores, and the Ketores, the incense, and this will stop the plague. Now, one final point. This is very interesting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and he tells Moshe. He says like this, Lachain Emor. He tells Moshe, Vaydabe Hashem al Moshe, Lachain Emor, therefore go tell Pinchas. No, excuse me. He says, Vaydabe Hashem al Moshe, Hashem's told Moshe, Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron HaKohen. Pinchas, the son of Elozer ben Aaron. Heishives Chamosi. He has turned back my wrath with what he did. They asked the question, what did he have to tell Moshe? Pinchas, the son of Elozer, the son of Aaron. I mean, we knew who we're talking about. We're talking about Pinchas. You want to call him Pinchas ben Elozer, so call him Pinchas, the son of Elozer. But why are you telling saying Pinchas, the son of Elozer, the son of Aaron HaKohen? We knew who we're speaking about here. So the Gemara brings, and the Gemara says, because after this whole episode, Pinchas didn't have a good reputation. It wasn't so simple. You know, when we read history, so we look at the whole picture. When we read history backwards, forwards. See? But life is the opposite. See? Life is forwards, backwards. What does that mean? We want to read a history book, let's say, on Churchill. So this is written after his entire life. This is how we view it. But if we viewed it each day as it went by, we might have a different perspective entirely. There were many people that did many great things who had the respect of the world, but only after, years and years after, when they realized what the great things they did. But during their lifetime, many of them were hounded. See? Even the Rambam, there were those that wanted to burn his forehead. See? Now, Pinchas wasn't very popular after he did this. This popularity he gained later. The fact is, Pinchas was in a lot of hot water after he did this. Because around the camp, the people started to buzz, and they started a whole whispering campaign against Pinchas, and they said, murderer, he's a cold-blooded murderer. Not only is a cold-blooded murderer, look who he killed, a prince in Israel. And they started to say that, you, why is he a, not only is a murderer, but we know he is. Because Pinchas was the son of Elozer, the son of Aaron. That was his father's lineage. But on his mother's side, Elozer had married a woman who her ancestry came from one side from Yosef and the other side from Yisro. Yisro was the one who converted and became the father-in-law of Moshe, but before he converted, he was an idolater. So they started to say, he's a murderer. And this ruthlessness, he's a barbarian. And this barbarianism, where did he get it from? This comes from Yisro. It comes from his great Zeta on the mother's side, who also was a barbarian, an idolater. That was the whispering campaign that was going against Pinchas. They said, Re'isam ben Puti, Ze shepitam avi imay agolim la verizora, Vohar agnosi shevet b'Yisrael. You see, the one that came from the idolater, a murderer, and he went and he murdered in cold blood one of our princesses. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, go tell the people this is Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron HaKohen. No. This is Pinchas, the son of Elozer, the son of Aaron HaKohen. Actually, I'd heard this once from Nahum Svi Eichenstein Zeicher Tzadik Livracha, who was from the Rebbe of St. Louis. This is the explanation in the Gemara, but later on I found it in the Gorai in the Maral. But what I want to give is a little more time, a little more taste into this. And this means that they didn't understand the quality of the Kahanim. They said like this, if Pinchas is coming from Aaron, Aaron is the quality of kindness and gentility. Anyone never done anything like this. And from the fact that Pinchas could do this, this is the blood in him that comes from Yisro, from the idolater. That's what was going around the camp. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, go tell the camp that this is Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron HaKohen, Heshives Kamosi. This is not from Yisro. This is from Aaron HaKohen. Because Aaron HaKohen was Meshiv Chemo. It's Aaron's job to protect the unity of Yisrael and with me. And sometimes he has to do it by being kind and gentle and bringing everyone together. But sometimes when it's under threat, he has to do it with the sword. But this all comes from Aaron. And therefore, Hinini Nesein Lai, therefore I give to him as Brisi Shalom, my covenant of peace. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu would think, you hear a man with the sword, we give him the covenant of peace. It's just the opposite of each other. No. You see, sometimes with the sword you can destroy, and sometimes with the sword you can build. Pinchas wasn't destroying with the sword. He was building and protecting the unity of Hashem with the sword. And that's the kanos. So this is an explanation in what Pinchas did. And this was Pinchas, the son of Elozer, the son of Aaron. This came from Aaron. And these are the qualities of Aaron HaKohen. And here we have these two qualities. The quality of unifying Klal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Eiv Shalom V'Reiv Shalom, Eiv HaSabrius HaMakavim the Torah, to bringing them all close together. But at the same time, it was their duty to protect at all costs that unity. And therefore, when that was under threat, there we have the other quality, Kana Yeskinosi, the one that was courageous enough to stand up for my honor with the sword, if necessary. And this was their second quality for this purpose. this is an explanation in what took place in this parsha. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.